there's part of that song where you talk about the journey. Do you have that?
Nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too. Spend my life on you because of who you are. Nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too.
I'm going to read a verse out of 1 Peter. Then I'll have Stacy sing that again. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, the Father has birthed us into his family. You're born of him because of and through Jesus Christ. Now, when you're born of him, you begin a journey that your life's not your own. You begin the journey of walking in his plan for your life instead of yours. You begin a journey of overcoming every weapon formed against you. You begin a journey of walking through every obstacle, every struggle, every battle, including everything your flesh tries to tell you who you are. Now, what you find with people is that everyone's different. No one can really tell you about you except for God. You can't even tell yourself about you. Why do I do this? Why do I want this? Why am I trying to go this way? Or what's wrong with me? Well, I know a person who knows what's wrong with you. It's called the Holy Ghost. And he knows how to get you through that and to walking to the fullness of who God plans for you to be. See, God has a plan for you. And the first plan, beyond getting you to heaven, is for you to walk in the fullness of all that you can be in him. And through him and by him, that you'll leave this earth changing this earth. That you'll have a footprint right here on this earth that will last for the rest of the time on this earth. You will be remembered by God because you made an impact. I'm going to read another verse here. Verse 23, same chapter. Have I been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides together. Now the word of God here, he's talking about Jesus. So through him, you've been born again of incorruptible seed. The message today is about going from a seed to fruit. See, when you plant a seed in the ground, if you look at this white bucket over here, let's pretend there's a bunch of dirt in that bucket, and I take a seed, and I plant that seed in that ground and water it. There's the inside of that seed is an image. You don't even know what's in there, what's the possibilities from that little seed. But inside of that seed is an image already imprinted on it that if you allow it to grow and mature, it will grow into what's inside of it. It will grow into it. Now, some things like a vegetable that you eat, it takes 9 weeks for it to grow. But some things, like a beautiful olive tree, a beautiful fruit tree, some trees take many, many, many years to mature before they produce fruit. So here he says that you've been born again of a incorruptible seed. Now, I'm asking Stacy to sing this song because sometimes the journey from the seed to a mature tree can take a long time. It can seem frustrating. Why do I not have the promises of God in my life now? And it's like looking at a little tree that's just sprouting from the ground and saying, what's that little tree? What are you saying? You're upset because you're not producing fruit yet? Well, it's okay, because if you give it time and you take care of it and water, let you water it, you're going to grow and you will produce the best fruit. And fruit doesn't come with work, it comes with maturity. So if you're on a journey to the promises of God today and you're feeling discouraged because maybe this is what the devil says, these promises aren't for you, therefore the goody two-shoes next to you, but you are no goody two-shoes. These promises are not for you. They're for someone else. Here it says that you're born again of incorruptible seed. So it doesn't matter how frustrating it is or how discouraging it is. Just remember, as long as you stay growing, it's going to come. So sing that one more time for me, Stacy, please.
Nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too hard. And I will spend my life on you. Of who you are, nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too hard, and I will spend my life on you.
Keep doing that, Stacy. We may work together today. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll read verses 2, 3, and 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus, or Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So in these verses discussing the divine nature, which is that incorruptible seed, if you looked into your spirit man, into your inner body, you would find there lies an incorruptible seed that was birthed from God inside of you because of Jesus Christ, because of everything He did. There lies inside of you a seed, and inside that seed is every possibility for every battle, every struggle, everything, every promise. It's all lying right there inside that seed. If you looked inside that seed and opened it up, you'd find an image of Christ, an image of perfectness, an image of holiness, an image of miracles, an image of prosperity, an image of everything that God promised you. These promises have been given to us, and you have a divine nature inside of you that you're welcome to partake of. When you partake, you are taking from the divine nature. You're taking something out of that and making it be part of your life. So whatever you're facing, understand that God is with you, not just for you to survive, but for you and I to overcome, for you and I to conquer and live above. And in those moments when you find and are exposed by a struggle, by a weakness, by the enemy, he circles around you, that ugly old Beelzebub. He circles around you, walks around your house at night, walks around you looking for any crack, any weakness, any possibility. And it's embarrassing when it's exposed, when you find yourself treading water, trying to survive something that you thought you were strong and found out you weren't as strong as you thought you were. How can this be possible? And here you are laying vulnerable and exposed. Well, that's not an insult. You've just been shown something by the devil that you thought you were overcoming. You thought you already had under your feet, and you found out you didn't. Now he's in trouble. Because there's a place that you can go in, not in your own power, but through the power of this seed, the growing, the taking out the attributes of this new nature, bringing them to full maturity. There's a place where he'll never get to do that again. I remember asking God one time, I said, God, now I know John, the apostle of love, the one who loved Jesus more than any other, went to the cross. He was the only disciple that was brave enough to go to the cross. Now, Mary and some women had no fear, but the disciples were all running for their lives. Peter, of course, denying Christ three times. And I said, God, why is it that John didn't have to be martyred? And all the other disciples were martyred. And the Lord began to teach me a little bit about how John didn't have to face martyrdom because he already did in his heart. He was already a dead man walking, with willing to go to the cross and watch Jesus and expose himself to being himself crucified, willing to lay his life down, actually willing to lay his life down, not just talking about it, willing. Peter, on the other hand, had the desire to lay his life down, told Jesus, I will lay my life down for you. And Jesus looked at him and said, will you really? Before morning, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Even though he had the willingness, many of us have a willingness to live a certain way. We have a heart to live a certain way. We have a desire to live. I want to be like Jesus. But yet when the enemy comes, we're exposed for where we're really living, how much we've really grown, where we're really at. And it's embarrassing. Peter was embarrassed his whole life. He was humbled. And I said, God, why is it that Peter had to be martyred and John didn't? because John had already been martyred in his heart. I said, well, that's not, is why, were, did you ask Peter to be martyred then and the other disciples just to punish them? You didn't come to the cross with me, you wimp. So now I'm going to order you to be martyred. But John, he already martyred. He's my favorite. I always laugh. And in the book of John, it says John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Yeah, I would write that too if I wrote my own book. It wasn't that Jesus loved John more than the other disciples. It was that John loved Jesus more than the other disciples. And when I asked God about Peter and the other disciples, he said, no, I wasn't punishing them. He said, I was honoring them. I was giving them the opportunity to face the very thing they failed in their past. To face the fear of martyrdom. I was giving them the opportunity to face it and win. Peter wasn't crying when they took him to his cross. He wasn't begging God to rescue him. He was proudly walking in the will of God and overcoming a fear that defeated him in the past. See, when you're exposed by the enemy for whatever your battle is, whatever secret battle you're going through, God doesn't want to expose you and embarrass you. He wants you to get over it, win it, conquer it, get above it, live above it. But when you're in the midst of that battle, it can feel like you're going to stay there forever. That's where discouragement comes in. That's where hopelessness comes in. But this is a gospel of hope, not just for the strong, but for even the most broken, the weakest. There's a hope for you, not just to make it to heaven, but if you allow that new nature to grow inside of you, the image to come forth, allow that seed to grow. The promises are the fruit of that seed. Man, there's people who will go and spend days and days and weeks and thousands of dollars traveling from conference to conference in a hunger for a promise. I need to get anointed. I need a special anointing. I need to hear a special word. And they're seeking for something that can't be found from another man. They're seeking for an answer from the possible realm instead of going to the impossible realm, to the Spirit, and saying, I just need to plant myself and let myself grow. I make fun of how it's not true, but I do. But I went down to the nursery, the plant nursery, and bought myself an orange tree. I planted that orange tree in the backyard. And that sucker, I watered it, I fertilized it. I mean, I weeded around it. I took care of that tree. In 1 year, it grew, but it didn't give me any oranges. Well, I chopped that tree down, took it back. I said, you gave me a bad tree? Stupid tree, won't even produce fruit. Had it for a year. I've taken care of this tree. I've overly mothered this tree. I kept all the bugs away, birds away. Fertilized it with the best fertilizer. Got some of that Miracle-Gro. I took care of this tree. Dumb tree won't produce any fruit. The problem is not the tree. The problem is just time. You got to let the tree grow. You are birthed from an incorruptible seed through Jesus Christ. There's things in your life that you are going to overcome. And just because you're in the middle of it doesn't mean you're failing. Doesn't mean you're stuck there. The hope of the gospel is I ain't stuck anywhere. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what people say, the devil says, I am not stuck. Because where I go to is the impossible realm. There's promises of God. I'm going to give us just a few today. Go to Mark chapter 16. go ahead and sing that again, because some people are on the way of their journey are feeling like they're not going somewhere. Now they did a study on plants. They did a study on children. Where, an actual study, I can't believe someone paid for this. They went and they talked negative to a plant. I don't know what that means, you ugly plant. You're a useless plant. And then they talked positive to a plant. True story. And the plant that they talked positive to grew. Grew more than the plant that talked negative to. They did a study with children. They had children and they put them in two different groups. And they began one talking about the way they talked. It was about stuttering. But none of these children stuttered. In one group, they talked positive about their language. And in another group, they talked negative, like, that's, you're stupid the way you're talking that way. That's really ignorant the way you're talking. Do you know that the positive kids all came out talking strong? The negative kids, the ones they talked negative to, who did not have stuttering problems, ended up for the rest of their life having stuttering problems and language problems. Because in their childhood, they were talked to in a negative way. Here's a promise. When I say promise, I want you to understand. Here's a seed of a promise. Verse 17, Mark 16. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly that by no means hurt them, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So here's a seed to the promise. Four miracles. If you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. How many have heard that preached before? Lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Now there's a problem if you only have the seed of the promise and don't let it come to fruition. See, it's good to lay hands on the sick, but when Jesus told the disciples, he said, go out and heal the sick. Not just pray for people. That's the seed. Go lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. Now, let me have a helper here. Doug, will you come be my helper real quick? Bring two chairs up today, please. Go ahead and put them on the stage. Look at those muscles. It's a good thing he's married. Yeah, put one right there. That's good. Here. And Doug, if you'll put a little bit further apart, right over here, like spread them out so people can see. Yep. And then put that bucket right underneath. So if you can't see here today, you're listening. Oh, no, on the floor, please. Yeah, and put a bucket in front of the other one, too. There's a bucket on the floor in front of a chair. Now, here at the prayer center, we have a box up here. Doug, will you please take this box and put it on top of the chair? Take that bucket, if you don't mind, and put it down here on the floor, a little further away. Need to get us 10,000 steps in today. And if you can do the same for this bucket, yeah, that looks better. So here I have two chairs on the stage. I want you to see the chairs as being the fruit, the maturity of a tree. And then if you follow your eyes down the stairs, down to the bottom of the stage, there's a little bucket. And in that bucket, I want you to see dirt and a seed. Now, the seed to this promise, what's the promise? You lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. Now, all of us have gone off in good motives. Remember Peter? Jesus, I'll lay my life down for you. Peter, you won't. Yes, I will. No, you won't. Yes, I will. What are you? You don't know me. I will. All of us have come to that place where we have determined, I will, but we're exposed, for I can't. So the promise of that seed is you will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Now, I've seen in my laying hands on the sick, like you have, many wonderful miracles, and we thank God for every miracle. But I've also seen frustration and defeat when I hit something that I couldn't, no matter how hard I tried, no matter how much I wanted, begged God, prayed to God, quoted faith, spoke faith, every argument I made to myself, to God, to that problem, didn't change it. Here's the end. Look at the end. Look at the fruit. See those little, this little box we have is, we have it at the front of the prayer center for people to put prayer requests in. And there's pictures on the box of what the world would call impossible situations. There's little children born with cerebral palsy. There's children from accidents and broken bodies and damaged to their mind. And there's some with parents holding them. And that's these pictures. What's those pictures for? That's a picture not of hope. That's the pictures of the goal that we have as a prayer center. We won't accept anything less than the answer of you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Not just half of the sick, but all of the sick. Every broken child, no matter why, what, when, that they bring to Jesus, who we represent, leaves whole, healed. Not just the sick, how about the maimed? Missing a leg? Good. What kind of advertisement would that be? Missing a leg, no problem. Jesus is your answer. Lost an arm? No problem. Born broken? Jesus is the answer. You know, that's preached. But the display of it is what we're really after. The display. Can you imagine going to your little orange tree in the backyard and standing in front of that little orange tree, year old? You useless tree. I even bought an orange, one of those orange, automatic orange things that you cut the orange in half and you stick it on and it goes zzz, in orange juice. It takes all the pulp out and leaves you with beautiful fresh orange juice. I got that sitting in my kitchen waiting for fresh oranges, you dumb tree. You stupid tree. Where are my oranges? Push, come on. One, two, three, push. Let's go make it happen. Push. The church today has settled for a lesser promise. They've settled for lay hands on the sick. And they've left out, they shall recover. Because I have no problem with us expressing the art of laying hands on the sick. But do you know how many people have been left damaged because someone in the name of Jesus, representing Jesus, laid hands on the sick and left them unrecovered and blamed them? Maybe not in words, but in the way they acted or the way they prayed, left that person feeling even more so. Because when you're fighting something, sickness, disease, you start to question everything. What did I do? And people are happy to question with you. Well, you must have opened the door of sin. What sin did I do? Imagine being a mama with a broken child. What sin did I do to cause my baby to be born this way? Did I eat too much of what I shouldn't have? Maybe I shouldn't have drank coffee. Can you imagine that? And I know women who are on drugs, heavy, heavy drugs, give birth, and their kid's perfectly fine. The guilt and shame, and we can leave people broken when we're supposed to represent Christ. And the journey, the time it takes to go from the promise that they shall recover to the fruit that they start bringing in. Because I have a whole list of kids that I now know personally that I meet every week who are twisted and broken in their body. And it can seem frustrating and it can seem discouraging and heart-wrenching when you're in the middle of this path. But see, we're growing from the seed to the promise. Go ahead and sing. Don't get discouraged on this path. Make this promise. Instead of saying to the tree, you dumb tree, push out fruit. You ugly tree, what's wrong with you? Useless. Come on, dumb tree. Let's go. Chop, chop. It's time. Now. Let's go now. Come on, come on. Push out. Push, push. One, two, three. Let's push out that, but a tree can. Say something like this. Trouble was somewhere along the way you said that to God. I want to be a vessel, a tree. I want to be a child of God that matures and grows up to the place that every broken baby gets healed. Because here's the end of the promise. See, the beginning of the promise, the seed form of the promise is lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And see, what all of us have done, which I was trained to do, go out and lay hands on the sick. I ran out there laying hands on people and I saw some nice miracles and exciting testimonies, and it was great. But eventually I ran into a case that I couldn't crack. No matter how much I pushed, the Word of God says, no matter how much I cried, wanted it to happen, I had to leave that case in the same place that I found it. But listen to the end of the promise out of Matthew chapter 15. Then great multitudes came to him, verse 30, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute. Maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. He healed them all. There is no question answer period. No seasonal confession prayer. They came and ate off the fruit of this man Jesus, who you received the seed of that same nature the moment you accepted Jesus. That's the end of your line right there. That's where we're going. Because we determined we're not going to settle for something different. Pastor Dave used to say, I'm getting tired of traveling, and or I've gotten tired of traveling around with preachers and passing offerings one to another, making a living off of preaching. I want to go to a place in God where this is true. That's the end of the seed. The seed starts. Lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. But the fruit is the lame, I need my professional reader so I quit bawling. The lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet. That's a symbol of, I got nothing else, you're all I have. When someone throws something at your feet, they're saying, I can't fix this problem. I'm at my end. You're all I have. And what did he do? He said, I got it. It's okay. You're going to leave here with a new baby. You're going to leave here with an arm. You're going to leave here whole. And until we get to the fruit, do you understand we're still growing there? Because when we're there, we'll know it. I'm frustrated. Why is it not here yet? Well, don't accept a second-class gospel. It's still good. It's still great. I mean, God bless them. But you can't get this from a man. You can't get this from a conference. There's no anointing, no glory cloud. There's no leveling up. There's no prophetic word going to help you to. The prophetic word is more to help you to stay in place and keep growing than it is to charge you up to go do something. So instead of being discouraged in your battle, even if it's personal, instead of being hopeless in hopelessness says, I'm stuck right here. Today we're talking about not being hopeless in your calling, not being hopeless in the promises of God. Just remember, it takes time to grow. If I got my orange tree in the backyard and someone comes up and says, hey, your orange tree's useless, I'm going to tell them to shut up. Hey, shut up. You don't know my orange tree. That's my tree. I water it. I fertilize it. That tree is going to grow. One day it's going to produce way too much fruit. So much fruit, I'm just going to spill out of my yard and I'm going to be handing out your oranges to my neighbors and to my friends. Hey, do you ever have a farmer friend, someone who really is like a someone who grows in a garden? Anyone have someone like that? Has like a big garden? You know you do, because always around fall time, when everything starts to mature, they come knocking on your door. I've got way too many turnips here. You're like, I can't eat 50 turnips. What am I going to do? Well, I've got 1,000 at home. And they start passing around, selling them on the side of the road, trying to get rid of them because there's so much fruit. That's the gospel, my friend, that you're going to have so much fruit, you'll be going around saying, hey, I don't know what to do with this. You need a miracle. Let me pray for you. Please, get this. Take this from me. I got so much. Please. That's the gospel. Don't run out premature trying to prove something that's not there yet. Don't be anxious. Instead of talking about this path as being too long, say this to God. Think the journey's too hard, you start to feel that. It's not true. You're just growing. It may not be the prettiest tree, but you're going to be the strongest tree. Do you ever see a rock, an island full of rocks, and all of a sudden you see one tree sticking out? That may be you. You're the tree that made it. You didn't give up. All the trees gave up years ago. And you're sticking up there. And listen, it's not too hard to spend our life on the gospel, on God, on growing instead of doing, running, going. Because we can do both. We can walk in the gospel and grow in fullness of who we are. But when you hit the impossible, and I bring out the miracles because I want you to see the impossible. The impossible is that every broken person, maimed, lame, blind, deaf, and many others, that means anything you can think of, they brought him and laid him at Jesus' feet and he healed them all. He healed them all. That's the impossible. Talk is cheap, my friend, but the reality is there is a pathway to the impossible, but it doesn't come from the possible. It's going to take a person, someone, you, saying, I'm not giving up on the truth. I'm not giving up on the promise. The impossible will come to pass. And if it's through me or through someone else, I don't care. But it wasn't someone got healed in the service. It was everyone got healed. I found myself on a happy path where only some got healed. I was able to make a living, able to be recognized as a successful healing evangelist. But not everyone got healed. And I became frustrated because I know the promise. The Holy Spirit kept me rubbing my nose in that promise. This isn't enough. This isn't good enough. Don't accept this. Don't live here because you're happy now. Don't live here because people look up to you now. Go back to the tree. Go back and grow, because there is a place in the impossible for you and I to walk in, where it's not 50%. It's not nice little things, although we appreciate that. If you got a bad back and get healed, the deaf ear, you get healed, that's great. But my gosh. When you get phone calls, my child's just been born. The doctor said that she's got cerebral palsy. She'll never be normal. She'll pass away at a certain age. Well, God bless you, honey. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. I'll send you my offering letter. Sorry, I just always got to throw that in there. And that mom has to wake up every morning to that child and live her life tending and caring with a hope that somewhere someone can represent Christ for her. The impossible is possible through this incorruptible seed. Go ahead, Stacy. We're doing good together. Say that one more time. Just keep going. Look at this other tree over here, the tree of promise. It begins with the seed of righteousness, that you've been made righteous, the righteousness in Christ. There at the root is a seed in the ground that says you are the righteousness of Christ. Well, when you have that new nature placed inside of this fleshly body, your inward man is brought to life, but your outward man is left to death. So you got this dark, dumb, arrogant, self-centered, selfish flesh that you're wearing. And then you got the seed of righteousness that's pushing truth. The promise is righteousness. That's the seed. Let's look at the end of that seed, the fruit. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. I don't want anyone here so discouraged in your personal battles. I say personal, it means the stuff you don't want anyone to know about. I laugh because they have the new DNA test where you can send in your DNA and they put you into this big database, and they tell you who might be related to you, and there's one guy in California that murdered someone like 40 years ago, and they had a piece of DNA saved 40 years ago before DNA was even known about, I think, or they could do anything with it. So they took that piece of DNA and they put it into the database and found that whoever murdered this person was related to five different people who had gone into this database, and by that they're able to figure out who he was. So 40 years later, he's getting handcuffed and put in jail for something he thought he got away with. I can imagine how many murderers are afraid now, telling their relatives, don't sign up, I'll pay you not to sign up, you got this ugly flesh on you. You're not trying to be exposed. You don't want anyone to know. You know, we all learn how to talk right. But we all have flesh. And it's our job to mortify the flesh. But here's the beginning of this. Look in verse, we'll just do chapter 6, verse 23. Or sorry, 22. But now, having been set free from sin, how many have been set free from sin because of your new nature? Look at the next words. And having become slaves of God, and having your what? Fruit to what? Holiness, and to the end, everlasting life. See, there's a fruit unto holiness. Here's the end. Listen, the beginning is you have a seed of righteousness, and that seed is going to interrupt your flesh's plans, hopes, ideas. And then the growth, the process is mortifying that flesh and allowing that seed, the image of that seed, to grow. And we become partakers of the new nature. We take out those attributes and make them part of our life. John chapter 14, verse 30. Jesus says, so here's the end of that seed of righteousness. I'll no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. See, that's the end of your holiness. That's the fruit of the righteous seed inside of you. The enemy has nothing in me. The only thing the enemy has against you right now is what's in you. But Jesus said there's a place that you can walk in where when the enemy comes, he has nothing in you. Let's go over to Matthew 22. Go ahead, Stace. Sing it again.
Nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too
verse 37 or verse 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord God, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You want to hear the end of the fruit, the fullness of the righteousness in you? You're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. I read that verse, and again, I'm storytelling. Read that verse, I invited all my neighbors. I'm going to have a barbecue. I'm going to share them the love of Christ. I want to leave little love gifts. Invited all my neighbors, and my one neighbor came up, and my other neighbor, and we had such a wonderful time, and I loved on them like the Word says. But when I got back in my house, I noticed I was missing. My watch was missing, and my jewelry was missing. I have a neighbor that went to the bathroom and stole my stuff. Well, I went out and beat him up, got my stuff back. And I found out that I was exposed for having anger issues against someone who steals from me. So I had some more growing to do. Because it doesn't say love the nice neighbors. It says love all your neighbors. See, and in this instruction, it's telling you the end, the fruit is, you can't help it. See, if I can choose it, it means I have a choice. But if it's mortified in me, I don't have a choice but to love you. Now, love isn't always hugs and kisses. Sometimes it's kick in the rear. But it's what's best for the person, not what's best for you. You hand out all the invitations the next time to the barbecue. You, oh man, I'm sorry. It didn't come in the mail. Our invitation didn't come to you. I'm so sorry. It must have got lost in the mail. Just happens that all the nice neighbors got their invitations, but you didn't. See, the end of the fruit. The fruit is the end. The maturity of the tree is that you love your neighbor as yourself. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, that you don't think adultery in your mind, not just act it out, but you don't even think it in your mind. That's the end that's possible for us. That's the fruit that's possible for us. So I want to be clear on this message. That we're all on a path of maturity. To where we see the promises, we partake of the new nature, and we're going to end in those promises. But if you're on this path and you find yourself not where you want to be, don't look at yourself and call yourself useless, ugly, dumb, stupid, slow. Look at yourself and look at God and say this to Him. Understand the ability to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, to love your neighbor as yourself is an impossibility unless you go into the impossible world, the spiritual world. That's where that has to be birthed and brought from. The ability to look at the devil and say, you have nothing in me. He walks around your house and around you. He's got spies, and they look at every thought, everything, every activity, and they work hard at finding the cracks in your life. To be able to stand and say, I got 1,000 demons spying every little thing I do, every thought, every emotion, and they can't turn me because there's nothing of myself, nothing of Him in me. There's an impossible place that you can live. But it's not going to be in your own strength. And I want to be clear that when we talk about doing and going and doing and being, we're meaning that right now where you're at, you have the ability to walk in certain things, and you should be walking in them, and you should be fighting against the flesh, because you know, when you know what's the flesh and what's the spirit, you need to choose right then to accept the spirit as being true and the flesh as being a lie, and quit making excuses and quit hiding behind, well, I'm going to do this and that and one day I'll be there. No, you already have the ability if you know what's in you And if you know what's your flesh, to make that choice. But also along this path, you're not always going to be there where you have to fight that sucker every single day. There's a path while you're stepping out and doing what you know to do, of taking the time to grow and mature. So that one day you're living above all that stuff that used to whip you around and beat you up. Whether it be sin, sickness, disease, whether it be insecurity, worry, fear, jealousy, envy, strife, whatever it might be, don't accept those as who you are, because that's from your flesh. But there is a growth that you're in. And while you're walking through this, from where you started to where He wants you to finish, see, God looks at you and He doesn't look at all the garbage, all the struggles. He looks at where you're growing. Look at you. You're going to produce so much fruit. You're going to touch so many lives because you chose to not stop growing. You chose, no matter what the hardship, no matter what the struggle, no matter what the enemy brought, no matter what life, you chose to keep the Word of God as your blueprint, as your path, as your sign that I will not stop and settle for something less than every broken child healed. That I love my neighbor as myself. God, help me to love my neighbor. Help me to love my family. Help me to love the people that like me and the people that hate me. Help me to love them with your eyes. Because right now I'm not there yet. I can say I'm there, and I know I can read how I'm supposed to act. Someone calls you on the phone, and instead of saying, I love you, you're like someone who reads out of those, hello, yes, I love you, I forgive you. You read the script, but it's not from your heart. But there's a place where it's from your heart. And God, only God, can help you get there. And if you don't give up, you're going to get there. I'm going to release you right now, but Stacy, go ahead and sing that a few more times.
The journey's not too hard.